Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and being glad in it. Welcome to Word Wednesday. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I am joined by my husband, who's also in transit right now, Pastor Anthony Simmons. We're going to go forward with our Word Wednesday on tonight. We pray that you're having a blessed day. Amen. God is good and worthy to be praised. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to go ahead and go right into our lesson. Before we go into the lesson, let us pray. Father God, we praise your name, we worship you, and we magnify your name. You are worthy to be praised. God, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise just because of who you are. We thank you for your love. We thank you, God, for your mercy. We thank you for your grace, God. We thank you for your hand upon our lives. There is none like you, O God, and we give you, Father God, all honor, all glory, all praise. We worship you. We magnify your name. We ask, Father God, that you have your way, that you speak to us on this Word Wednesday as we go into your word. And, Lord, we will continue to praise you, continue, O God, hallelujah, to give your name all glory as we live our lives for you. And we ask, Father God, that you will bless this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. God bless you, hon. Are you good? You have your hand raised.
No, that's a mistake, but I'm just listening.
Amen. Okay, you can say hello to the people. I'm going to put you back on mute. You want to say hello to everybody?
Praise God. Looking forward to this evening's lesson. God bless everyone.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Love you, honey. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. We're going to start in the book of Luke. Topic for tonight's word is Jesus has the final say. Jesus has the final say. Amen. We're going to go over to the book of Luke, chapter 13. Verse 31, Luke 13, 31. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We praise your name. God bless you, Sister Barbara, Pastor Prophet Jamal. God bless you to all who are listening live, those who have called in, those who are listening via the stream. God bless you. Amen. Luke chapter 13, 31, and it reads, at that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you. He replied, go tell that fox. I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. And then in verse 34, he goes and he begins to cry out to Jerusalem, 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 you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. So Jesus here now is on a mission. He's on assignment, amen. He's on his way to Jerusalem, even though Jerusalem has not been been cooperative, even though Jerusalem has been stiff-necked and obstinate, the people of Jerusalem. Jesus still has an assignment that he came to the earth realm to complete, and he is on assignment. And as he's on his way to Jerusalem, where he is going to die, where he is going to lay down his life for people, my God, who would not appreciate it. Some would not appreciate it. He was on his way. As he was on his way, the people came to him and said, the Pharisees came to him and said, leave this place, go somewhere else. Don't go to Jerusalem. Herod wants to kill you. Amen. And there are times when people will speak into your life, will come and try to distract you or divert you to go in another direction. Amen. Because they do not want you to fulfill your assignment for whatever reason. There, people have many reasons why they may not want you to fulfill your assignment. One of the words that we use in the church today is haters. We use the word haters. We throw that word around. But it's so true in a lot of cases that there are people and they can be qualified as your haters. These Pharisees were qualified as Jesus' haters, amen. They did not like Jesus. They did not like what he stood for. They did not like the fact that the people followed Jesus. They did not like the fact that Jesus had a greater reputation or more popularity than they did. They were haters, amen, and they did not want Jesus to have more acclaim. They did not want Jesus to fulfill his mission, to fulfill his assignment here on the earth realm. So they came to him and said, Jesus, go somewhere else. Go somewhere else because Herod wants to kill you. Amen. And it was true. Herod did want to kill him, but Jesus, again, was not going to be swayed by what they said or by what Herod wanted to do. Amen. Jesus was not going to allow anything to stop him from fulfilling his assignment in the earth realm. And I'm so glad that Jesus was unstoppable. I'm so glad that Jesus was on assignment, that he had his face set like flint, amen, that he was focused, that he was dedicated, that he was committed, amen, to do what he was sent here to do, amen. And he replied, you go tell that fox that I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I will reach my goal. I came to tell somebody on today that Jesus, hallelujah, has the final say. He has the final say no matter what people are saying, no matter what your circumstances are saying. Jesus came into our lives, amen, to fulfill a goal. And that goal has been fulfilled. That's why we're in this week called Holy Week. We have just celebrated Palm Sunday. And on Palm Sunday, we know that that was the day that Jesus came into Jerusalem. We're going to look at that scripture in a minute. We've gone through Palm Sunday, and now we're in right smack dab in the middle of Holy Week, 2 days away from Good Friday, when Jesus will actually go to the cross. And that shows us that no one, not even Herod and his murderous plot, could stop Jesus from going to the cross. Amen. So let's look at another text. Let's go to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 21. He said, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. Amen. And we have to have the mind of Christ. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. We have to have that same mindset where we're not going to allow anything to stop us from doing what God sent us to do. When you were in the spirit realm with God before he sent you to the earth realm, he gave you an assignment. The Bible says that there have been good works prepared in advance for us to do, that God prepared good works in advance for us to do. I want to look at that real quick. I always quote that, but I never really go to that particular text, Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to go there real quick, and then I'm going to go back to Matthew 21. Ephesians chapter 2, it says here in verse 10, Ephesians chapter 2, 10. This is so powerful. Amen. If you ever wonder if you're here for a purpose, this verse answers that question. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." My God, my God. We were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Just like Adam and Eve in the garden, when God created Adam in his own image, when he molded and shaped Adam from the dust of the ground, amen. He already had good works prepared in advance for Adam. Come on, somebody. He already had the work for Adam to do before he brought Adam forth, amen, into the earth realm. So we have to know that before God brought you here, he already had a job for you. He already had an assignment for you, amen. So we have to be confident that we're here on purpose. I said you have to be confident that you are here on purpose. You're not a mistake. You're not a wandering generality. Amen. You are here on purpose. And I want to ask you, are you doing what God sent you here to do? Are you living your life on purpose? Think about it. Think about it. Are you living your life on purpose? Are you getting up every day on purpose? Are you being a good steward? Are you being a good steward of your time here? Are you being a good steward of the time that you have here? Amen. And I have to write this scripture down because I want to go through this scripture as well as I ask you about being a good steward of your time. Amen. We're going to look at that as well. But let's look at Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, verse 1. Matthew 21, here we have Jesus coming to Jerusalem. As they approached Jerusalem, and I'm going to switch over to the King James. I've been reading from the NIV. I'm switching over to the King James Version right now. King James. King James, Matthew 21. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage under the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, "Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, 'The Lord have need of them,' and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon a donkey, and a colt, the foal of a donkey.' And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they sat him thereon, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' And the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee.' And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, 'It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, But you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. And then they, you know, we know as we read verse 16, they wanted Jesus to make them to be quiet. And Jesus said, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Amen. And this is Jesus finally getting to Jerusalem. Amen. He came first into Bethphage, which is interpreted as the house of unripe figs. Amen. The house of unripe figs. And then, you know, it's amazing that he came to this place first. And even right after Jesus came into Jerusalem on the donkey and they cried, Hosanna, Hosanna, shortly after that, he cursed the fig tree because it had leaves and no fruit. Amen. And God showed me, even through these particular scriptures, that he wants to deal with the fruit in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. God does not want us to be hypocrites. He does not want us to pretend. He does not want us to play with Christianity. Amen. He wants us to be sold out to him. Amen. And to bring forth good fruit. Amen. To bring forth fruit that remains. Amen. Fruit that will bring him glory. God wants good fruit. And he gave us help. He gave us the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the fruit of the Spirit, my God, from Galatians, we know is love, peace, gentleness, kindness, faith, long-suffering, self-control. All of these things are qualified as good fruit. And he talks about the evidence of the flesh, my God, or we could call it the fruit of the flesh, where you have all kinds of arguing and strife and hatred and dissension and all of these things that come when we're operating in the flesh as opposed to when we're operating in the spirit. The Bible tells us to live by the spirit, therefore we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Amen. So Jesus came and he right away began to deal with the fruit in our lives. He came to Bethphage, which is one of the outer skirts of Jerusalem. Amen. And then he began to talk to his disciples. Amen. As he was on the Mount of Olives, he began to speak to his disciples. Amen. And tell his disciples what to do. You know, and that's something else that God does in our lives. He gives us instruction. He gives us instruction, and he tells us what to do. Amen. God does not want us to have a reprobate mind. The Bible tells us in Romans that he gave some over to a reprobate mind because they just wanted to do what they wanted to do. They wanted to sin. Amen. And they did not want to change their ways. But God wants us to be transformed. Amen. We must be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Amen. We have the mind of Christ. We have been given a new mind. Amen. And we have to continually, Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us to no longer be conformed to the things of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Amen. There's a saying that if you keep doing the things that you used to do, you're going to keep getting the result that you used to get. Amen. You have to begin to operate out of a new mindset. No, we cannot be new creations. The Bible tells us that in Christ, we are new creations. We're the old. It says that the old has passed away and that all things have become new. And the only way that we're going to manifest the new is by renewing our mind. As the mind goes, so goes our lives. As your thinking goes, so goes your life. Amen. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he, so is she. So we have to make sure that we're letting the right things come into our minds. That's why it's so imperative that we come to Word Wednesday. It's imperative that we go to church and hear the Word of God. that the pastor has labored over, and God has downloaded that word in our hearts for you so that your mind could be renewed. Amen. Because the devil's going to try to come and feed you what he wants you to believe. And you have to make up your mind, you know, heck no, I'm not about to believe what the devil is trying to feed me, whether it's through media, through television, through social media, whether it's through the naysayers, negative people, negative circumstances, certain professionals that you may encounter in your life on a daily basis, maybe a bad doctor's report, it may be a negative financial report, it may be a foreclosure notice or eviction notice, your lights may be turned off, it may be any number of things that may come to get your mind to shift into negative gear. But you have to have such a built-up, transformed mindset. You have to be operating so much in the mind of Christ that none of these things sway you, that none of these things move you. Paul, I believe it was Paul who said, none of these things move me. None of these things move me because I know that I know that I know that my God is faithful. Come on, somebody. When you know that God is faithful, when you know that God is not a man that he should lie, when you know that God does not go back on his word. The Bible says that there are certain things that are immutable, unchangeable, and that's God's character and his word. God cannot change his character or his word. So we can stand in faith and knowing that our God is who he says he is and that he will do what he says he would do. That's a word for somebody right there. Get your faith back. Get your faith in God back. Get your faith in what God has said to you back. The Bible says, believe my prophets and you will prosper. That's why you have to know if you're listening to a real prophet. A real prophet is one whose word, when God speaks the word comes to pass. When God speaks the word, that word is confirmed by your spirit. Nobody knew that but God and you, but the prophet was able to speak it into your word, into your life. Amen. Someone who's walking with God. Amen. Someone who's sitting with God and praying, and you know that person is a true man or a woman of God. Amen. So God wants us to be transformed in our minds, and the only way, one certain way that we can be transformed in our mindset is to be disciples of Christ. Not just willing, but obedient. Come on, somebody. The Bible says if we be willing and obedient, we shall eat the good of the land. So many people want the blessing, but they don't want to be obedient. And obedient is a huge part of the blessing. Now, God blesses those who obey him. You know, salvation is free. Salvation is free, but the blessings are going to cost you something. And it's called obedience. Amen. Praise God. So he sent two disciples to do an assignment for him. And I want to ask you, what has God sent you to do? You know, when God told us, he said, go into all the world and preach this gospel, making disciples. Amen. You don't need a microphone to go into the world to tell people about Jesus. You know, your life speaks a sermon all by itself. Yeah. Your life is the only Bible that a lot of people will ever read. So you cannot be straddling the fence, so to speak. You can't be speaking in tongues on Sunday and cursing people out on Monday. You can't be lifting your hands in the sanctuary on Sunday and cutting people off in traffic on Tuesday. Come on, somebody. Come on. Kindness and gentleness are fruit of that's fruit of the Spirit. That's fruit of the Spirit. You know, you can't be filled with faith on Sunday, you know, and speaking God's word, and I know it's true, and hallelujah, Pastor, you're speaking the truth. And then on Wednesday, you're so scared that you can't get out of the bed. You know, and I'm not making light of that, because there are some things that can hit your life that will make you not want to get up out of the bed. But that when that fear tries to hold you back and hold you in bed or hold you from going forth on that job interview or hold you back from being great or hold you back from doing your best at the job that you do have, when that fear tries to make you think that you can't do something, that you're going to fail, so you might as well not even try, when fear comes to try to make you doubt your own ability that God has given you to do all things through Christ, come on, somebody. When that fear comes to try to make you think that your children will never be saved, that your daughter will never get out of that situation, that your son will never get out of that situation, that he will never turn his life around, you have to turn back around and look at fear right in the eye and say, no, God has not given me a spirit of fear. I'm not receiving you today, fear. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but one of love, power, and the sound mind. My God. Love cancels out fear. Power overwhelms fear. A sound mind makes you stop and think and say, wait a minute. What am I scared of? What am I scared of? Am I scared of failing? Come on, somebody. Are you scared of failing? If you fail, you just simply get up and try again. Failure is not failure until you quit. Are you scared of succeeding? Now, you know that's the devil, because God says, beloved above all things, he wants you to prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. He wants everything that you touch to prosper as you delight yourself in him. As you meditate on the word day and night, he told you you will have good success. So we don't have time for fear. Come on, somebody. I don't have time to be scared, and I'm one that has to fight fear. I have to fight fear because fear tries to, I used to have to fight fear a lot, but fear got tired of being knocked out by me. See, I have a heavy hand. I have a heavy hand when it comes to the devil. Come on. I'm not playing with the devil. So fear has had to back up so much off of me that fear kind of knows to leave me alone. And you have to get to that point where fear keeps, you have to get to that point where fear sees you coming, and fear turns around and runs in the opposite direction. We have to get to that point where fear is afraid of us, because fear knows that it can't win, and it's a spirit. Fear is a spirit. I have had times when I have been on my way to a meeting, and I have been in my bedroom getting dressed, and I felt this thing come on me. And I felt that spirit of fear come over me and come on me and get on me. And I said, hey, that's fear. My heart would start beating, and I'm like, what am I scared of? And the next time fear tries to get on you, stop and ask yourself, what am I scared of? And then go ahead and find you a word to cancel out any reason that you might have to be scared. Because there's no reason in heaven that you have to be afraid. Amen. Hallelujah. So we have to be disciples, you know, and we have to allow God to transform our thinking, transform our minds. Amen. We have to be willing. We have to be obedient. Amen. Obedient to God. Amen. Hallelujah. We have to be on purpose. Amen. And just much like this donkey that was tied up, and one of the other gospel writers said no one had ever sat upon this donkey. This donkey had never been in purpose before. Amen. Hallelujah. But I said on Sunday when I preached, the fact that the donkey had never been in purpose before did not mean that the donkey did not have a purpose. And I want to say that to you on tonight. The fact that you're not walking totally in your purpose does not mean that that purpose is not a part of your mission and assignment here on the earth realm. God still has purpose. The fact that you messed up does not annihilate or cancel out your purpose. Amen. God still wants to use you. He still has a purpose. He still has a purpose for you. The fact that you get scared sometimes does not cancel out your purpose. The fact that you're in transition right now does not cancel out your purpose. The fact that you are not where you want to be, you may feel like you're not where you should be right now, does not cancel out your purpose. The fact that you're not getting the results that you feel you should be getting does not cancel out your purpose. Amen. You're just in the process, baby. God is just still processing you and getting you ready for the greater things that he has in store for you. Somebody shout, I'm in process. I'm in process. Amen. And one day God's going to say, go and get my daughter, go and get my son, and you tell them that I have need of her. You tell them that I have need of him. Amen. Hallelujah. So and that this scripture is so rich. I really was able to pull out a lot of parallels on Sunday as I preached on this. I'm not going to repeat all of them because I already preached it. Amen. But one more thing I wanted to pull out as we before we move on to the next text, and that was all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. Amen. The prophet had already spoken that Jesus was going to come, and he was coming meek and sitting upon a donkey in the coat of a foal of a donkey. Amen. And Jesus came in exactly as it had been prophesied. My God, hundreds of years before, it had been prophesied by the prophet that Jesus would come in sitting upon a donkey, meek. And it came to pass exactly as the prophet prophesied. Amen. And it took hundreds of years. Do you hear me? It was hundreds of years later. So who are we to get impatient with the process when the prophecy does not happen right away? Just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. We have to continue to stand in faith. Listen, somebody's believing God for something. I feel it in my feeling. Somebody out there that's listening to me right now, you are believing God for some unfulfilled prophecies that have not yet manifested in your life. You're believing God for breakthrough. You're believing God for increase. You're believing God, hallelujah, to do some things in your life. Amen. You have been believing God for these things for a while. It has been prophesied to you. It has been confirmed by another prophet. It has been reaffirmed by another prophet. God has spoken to you in the shower. He's spoken to you as you were driving in your car or your truck. God has spoken some things to you in your times of prayer, but it hasn't come to pass yet. And you're looking at your situation, you're looking at your circumstances, and you are on the verge, my God, of saying, God, when is this going to happen? You may even have said it already. This thing is trying to frustrate you. It's trying to put fear in you. It's trying to put disbelief in you. But I have come to tell you that everything that God has spoken over your life, it shall come to pass. Hallelujah. It may not have happened yet, but that does not mean that it's not going to happen. It shall come to pass. God says, have I not spoken it? Shall I not bring it to pass? Shall I not fulfill it? It was 300 years, before, not more than 300 years before Jesus came riding on that donkey. Some people that heard this prophecy prophesied, they were not even here any longer. But it did not stop the prophecy from coming to pass. When God speaks, nothing can stop it. Amen. When God speaks over your life, nothing can stop it. Amen. Just continue to believe. Your job is to continue to believe God. Take God at his word. Amen. Jesus came in to fulfill what was spoken. He came in as king. He came in as king. Now, the people were thinking that he came to be an earthly king, but I'm so glad Jesus did not come to be an earthly king just for those. I'm so glad that he came to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm so glad that his kingdom has no end. I'm so glad he came to fulfill the prophecy that was spoken over David's life, that he would never fail to have a descendant to sit in the seat of the king. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're excited about this Holy Week. And it says even after that, Jesus went into the temple. He began to set the temple in order. Listen, I want to say this about the temple. God wants his house, his church, to be a house of prayer. A house of prayer. Prayer being our way of connecting with God. Amen. He wants the heavens over our houses of worship to be so open that miracles take place in our churches every single Sunday. God wants the atmosphere to be so conducive to miracles. He wants us to come into his house, amen, with praise, with worship, with expectancy, amen. It says even as the Jesus went in and began to clean up the temple, that the lame were healed and the blind were healed, amen. Now it was conducive. The house was conducive for miracles. And some of us have to get to a point where we clean up our house, our houses of worship, our vessels, not just the physical church, but God wants us to clean up our personal vessels. Amen. He wants to clean he wants us to clean up our lives, get our acts together. Begin to walk circumspectly before the Lord. Live lives of worship. Be more conscious of the words that we speak. Be more conscious of the things that we watch on television. Be more conscious of what we allow through our eye gates on Facebook. Be more conscious of what we allow to come through our ear gates. We need to guard our gates. You have to guard your gates. My God, so many people want to be anointed, but we do not guard our gates. Amen. The trash will nullify the trash that we allow to come in will nullify the anointing. My God, I don't know about you, but I want to be like Peter. I want people to be healed by my shadow. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be able to lay hands on the sick and have them get up. I want to go and say Talitha Kume to a little girl and have her get up. Come on, somebody. I want the woman with the issue of blood, women with issues that have been walking around broken, busted, and disgusted to come into my presence and say, if I could just touch her, then I know I'll be made whole. I don't want to be Jesus, but I want Jesus to be so big in my life, my God, that people that can touch me and be healed. I know that's a big want, but is anybody else out there bold enough to want people to be able to touch your garment? And because of the anointing on your life, they're healed? Oh my God. Can you imagine how many souls would be saved if there was that kind of testimony coming out of your life where people could say you prayed for them and laid hands on them and their blind eyes were open, that they were lame and could not walk and they were able to get up out of a wheelchair, that signs and wonders and miracles were taking place everywhere that you went? Oh God, that, you know, revival would hit the land like never before. But we have no power in our churches because our houses need to be cleaned up. We're compromising the gospel, and God is saying, stop compromising. We have to stop compromising this gospel. My God, hallelujah. So Jesus has the final say. And even as he went in and it was Holy Week, he had the foot washing on Thursday. And then on Friday was Good Friday, where they seized Jesus. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he was crying out in the garden. He was crying out in the garden. Pastor read that on last night where Jesus said, can you not pray with me for 1 hour? For 1 hour. And they went to sleep. You know, some of us, sometimes we're sleeping when we should be praying. My God. Sometimes we oversleep and jump up and go out the door without praying. I'm guilty. I don't do it a lot, but there are times when I don't even feel like praying. I say, I'm not going to pray today. I got too much to do. I have too much to do. Amen. But God forbid. God forbid. And we have to just get back to a posture of prayer, you know, going before God, saying, God, order my steps today. Show me where you want me to go. Show me what you want me to do. Amen. Show me who you want me to touch today. Amen. We want to be so connected to God, so connected to God, that we hear his voice and we know always what to say and what to do when we come across somebody that needs ministry. Amen. Amen. So I came here with one intention, and I've been talking. God has been flowing. Amen. In another direction. Amen. Because he wants us, of those of us who are mature, amen, to just step up spiritual game. God wants us to step it up. Step it up a few notches. Amen. Yes, it seems like the world is getting more and more lax, but that's time for us to be more and more fervent and more zealous about the things of God. It's time for us to be on fire again. It's time for the fire to be relit, amen, because sometimes some things in life will make our fire go out, amen. But don't let your fire go out. Stay on fire for the Lord, amen. So in this last 15 minutes, I want to talk about Jesus' time on the cross. And on Friday, a lot of people will be doing the seven last words of Christ. I just want to go through them really quickly. I'm not going to dwell on them, but we should all know the seven last words. So let's look at John. John chapter 19. Verse 30. And these are the seven last words of Christ. Jesus has the final say. Amen. John. I'm in the wrong scripture. That's not the one I want yet. The one that I want right now is Luke 23. Luke 23. We'll go to John in a minute. And I'm going to go through all of these really quickly just so we can get it in our spirit, because we're not having a good Friday service. And some of us will and some of us will not have an opportunity to hear these seven last words. Luke 23, verse 34. Amen. Luke 23, 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know what not. Let me read that again. Luke 23:34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he parted his raiment and cast lots. And this is the word of forgiveness. Amen. Jesus is very concerned about forgiveness. That if somebody has done anything to you, it is so important that you forgive. Because they don't have a clue sometimes of what they're doing. Amen. They don't even know who they're messing with. But more importantly than that, God does not want us to hold unforgiveness in our heart. So Jesus showed us by example right on the cross, after they had beaten him, after they put the crown of thorns on his head, after they spit on him, whipped him with the whip with the silver spuds, breaking his skin open, amen. They did all of this, made him carry that cross and put him up on that cross, unfairly crucifying our Christ. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's very important. Just begin to write down some names of some people that you need to forgive. Luke 23:43. This is the second of the last seven last words of Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And Jesus is hanging on the cross between the two thieves, amen. And one of them is saying, Jesus, go ahead and save yourself. And the other one says, this man has done nothing. We deserve to be on this cross. This man has done nothing. And he turned to Jesus and told Jesus in verse 42, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comes into thy kingdom. And verse 43, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And that lets us know that when we depart from this body, we are going to be with Jesus. Amen. So many people think there's purgatory and a holding place, but the Bible tells us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. That's why we don't have a problem with death, because we know we don't die. We go to sleep and we wake up with God. Amen. That's what I believe. Amen. That when we go to sleep, we wake up with God and we will be with Jesus in paradise. And another thing, this man didn't get baptized. See, baptism is not what saves us. It's what shows the world that we are saved, amen, that we have given our lives over and our faith over to Jesus Christ. So we have to be sure and certain that we're not telling people, look, in order to be saved, you have to be baptized, because this man didn't get baptized. So there are circumstances that Jesus will allow, amen, where you may not even be able to be baptized. Some people are getting saved on their deathbed. Amen. And there is no water baptism, but there probably certainly is a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's look at the next one. John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We wanted to have the seven last words. We probably still will preach them in our church. Amen. Because we think that it's just so important to know what Jesus was concerned with while he was on that cross. Amen. John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. Amen. Hallelujah. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. The Bible is clear that Jesus is concerned about relationships. He's was on the cross, and he looked down from that cross and saw the two people that he loved, probably loved the most, standing there watching him in his final moments of agony. And even in that time when he was suffering on that cross, he considered his mother. He considered the disciple John, whom he loved, and he put them together in relationship. He made sure that his mother was going to be taken care of, and he made sure that John was not going to be left alone. And the commentators say that Mary lived in John's house until the day that she left his earth. He took care of Jesus' mother for the rest of his life. Amen. So relationships are very important. Mother-son relationships, mother-daughter relationships, father-son relationships. Jesus said, woman, behold thy son. Amen. Son, behold thy mother. Amen. And he put them together. And we thank God for family. Amen. So many times people will say, you don't need your biological family. Now that you're in the church, your church is your new family. And I say the devil is a liar, you know, because Jesus is concerned with our biological family as well as our spiritual family. Amen. As a matter of fact, when we go to church, if we have people in our families who are not saved, it's our responsibility to go back. Amen. and bring the gospel to them and try to help them get saved. No, we don't go back and do what they do, but we definitely ought to be concerned about the souls of our mothers, our biological mother and father and sister and brother, sons and daughters. My God, how cold would that be to say, well, I'm saved now, I don't need them, I have my spiritual family, and I'm going to heaven, and they're going to hell, and, you know, to hell with them. You know, I mean, the devil is a liar. We have to show love. We have to show love. And love, showing love means that I'm concerned about your soul. Amen. I don't want you to die and go to hell. Amen. Let's look at another text. And I didn't curse. I mean, hell is a real place. It felt like I cursed. when I said that. Amen. But I wasn't trying to curse. Amen. Let's look at another scripture, Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. We're on the fourth word, Matthew 27. Pastor Anthony called me. He said, I'm going to be working late. Can you teach Bible study? I'm working on about five books, working with five authors right now. And I said, you know, I'm kind of like behind the ball with my timelines for my office, but certainly I can teach. Amen. We have enough word in us. We should have enough word in us that we can be able to teach a little bit of something. It might not be Pastor Anthony because he labors in that word, but I brought y'all a little bit of something, and I hope you appreciate it. Amen. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. And while we're going there, you know, one thing we have to be is real. You know, be who God created you to be. You know, God has given us our own identity, amen, and we have to walk in that identity. It's an insult to God to try to be somebody else, because who's going to be you? If you're being somebody else, who is going to be you? And you are important enough, you were important enough for God to take the time to shape and mold you in your mother's womb, to send you here to the earth realm on assignment with works in advance for you to do, for God to take the time for you to exist. If you were that important to God, then you must find it in your heart to be that important to yourself. Amen. To value your own identity. Amen. And just be you. Just be you. Don't stress yourself out trying to be anything or anybody else. Let's look at Matthew chapter 27:46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And here Jesus was at the point of devastation. He was at the point of devastation because he felt like at that point, and he knew at that point, when he took all of the sins of the world, when he took all of your sins and all of my sins and all of the sins of humanity upon him, he knew that that was the moment that God the Father turned his face from him, amen, because he was not going to look upon our sin, amen. And it was, even though it was for a short time, it was too long for Jesus, my God. And I'm like that. I feel the same way. Like, God, don't take your spirit from me. Don't take your presence from me. Don't take your eyes off of me, amen. Don't forsake me, my God. And I thank God that he promises that he will never leave us, nor will he ever forsake us. Amen. Because our sins are covered by the blood of Jesus. I said this on Sunday. It's been sealed in the blood. It's been sealed in the blood of Jesus. Jesus has the final say. And he took our sins upon him at that moment, at that hour, at the sixth hour, when darkness covered the earth until the ninth hour. For 3 hours it was dark. It was dark, very dark. And on the ninth hour, Jesus couldn't take it anymore. He cried with a loud voice, "Father, why have you forsaken me? I need you, Lord. My God, we know how it feels to feel like God is not there." Amen. And that's what Jesus experienced at that time on the cross. Let's go on to John chapter 19, John 19:28. And I'm not elaborating on this again. I'm going through them quickly. But as you look through them, meditate on these scriptures. And I feel God. Meditate on these scriptures and let God speak to you through these scriptures. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at John 19. John 19, I said 28, it's not 28, but this was John 4, is it John, I had 19:28, but okay, I have to find it. This is the scripture where Jesus got thirsty, amen. John 19:28. It was 19:28. Amen. It says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, says, I thirst." Oh my God, I thirst. Have you ever gotten thirsty? Have you ever gotten thirsty for God? Jesus was not just thirsty. He wasn't thirsty for something to drink. He was missing, again, the presence of God. He was like that deer in Psalm 42, panting after the waters, amen, thirsting after the waterfalls of God, thirsting to be in the presence of God, amen. He said, "I thirst." Again, Jesus is showing us what was important to him as he was on the cross on that Good Friday, amen. So we have to remain thirsty, amen. We have to remain thirsty for God, amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at the final two. John 19:30, just two verses down, John 19:30. "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar," they had the nerve to give him some vinegar to try to quench his thirst. You know, when you're thirsty for God, can't nothing else quench your thirst. I think that's why some of us eat junk food. Some people drink. Some people do drugs. Some people indulge in a lot of sexual activities. Amen. Some people are workaholics. Some people binge on watching TV, anything, social media, to try to satisfy and quench a thirst or to fill a void. And that thirst and that void can only be satisfied by God. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. So they tried to give him some vinegar, and he said, "It is finished." He said, "It is finished," and bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now, that word for finished is teleo, and that word means to bring to a close, to finish, to end. To perform, execute, complete, fulfill, so that the thing done corresponds to what has been said. Let me say that again. To perform, execute, complete, fulfill, so that the thing done corresponds to what has been said. To order, command. Hallelujah. Jesus did it. And one even says to pay. It is finished or paid. My God. He was saying right there, it's done. I fulfilled what was spoken. I fulfilled what was said. I completed it. I paid the price. Come on, somebody. He paid the price. Jesus paid the price for our sins on the cross. Amen. Pay in full. There's a stamp on your life. There's a stamp on my life. And it says, pay in full. And Jesus said it on the cross. He said, it is finished. is finished. Hallelujah. And it says that he bowed his head and gave up the cross. And that brings us to our seventh last word of Christ on the cross. Hallelujah. I pray this is helping somebody. Amen. And that last word is what Jesus says, Father, into your hand. And that scripture is in the book of Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 20. I didn't get that scripture. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Amen. The last scripture he said is, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Hallelujah. And I'm just getting that text because I was so excited about having everything written down that I did not write that text down. But I want you to have it for your notes. Luke chapter 23:46. And it says, then Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel like shouting. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He gave his spirit back into the hands of God. And that was the seven last words of Christ. So even as I talk about this seventh word, give it back to God. Put it back into his hands. Put your life back into God's hands. Put your destiny back into God's hands. He said, I commend my spirit. I put my life back into your hands. I put my breath, every breath that I breathe, I put it back into your hands. He gave his all back to God. And that's what I'm saying to you on today as we complete this seven last words. Jesus had the final say, and with that final breath, he put it all back into the Father's hands. So I want to encourage you today to put it back into the Father's hands. Keep your life in God's hands. Don't come to God when things are bad and allow God to fix your life and then take your life and put it back into your hands and leave God.
Jeez.
Leave your life in the hands of God. Commend your life into the hands of God. When you came and you got saved, you came and you gave your life to Jesus. You gave your life to God. And then on the way, you tried to be in control. Give control back to God.
Amen.
Let God order your steps. Let his word be a lamp unto your feet. Let God direct you in the way that you should go. Let him direct your path. Amen. Let God be in control because God knows better than you do what's good for you. Amen. So I want to encourage you on this Wednesday as we get ready. This is, I think this is Fat Wednesday. They call it Fat Wednesday when they go and pig out. But that's the world. Come on, somebody. Every day should be holy for us. Every week should be holy week for us. Come on. We should not pick our standards up and put them back down again. I want to challenge you to live a life of worship every single day of your life. Live your life for the Lord. Amen. Don't let it have to be Easter or Resurrection Sunday or Christmas or any particular holiday. Amen. Give God your spirit. Give God your life. In him, let us move and breathe and have our being. Amen. Father God, we thank you for this time that you allowed us to be together. Jesus, we thank you that you truly do have the final say. I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to teach this lesson at the last minute. Oh, God, I pray that it bless the hearers in some way, some form or fashion. I know, Father God, that your word will not come back to you void. So, Lord, there's something that I've said, Father God, bear witness in the spirit of the people, those who have listened on tonight and those who will listen to the archives. And, Lord, we just thank you. We praise you, Father God, for continuing on, even though Herod heart wanted to kill you. We thank you, Lord, for moving forward into Jerusalem. We thank you, Lord, for the parallels of that time that you spent Bethphage. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah, for the seven last words on the cross that you showed us the things that were important to you as you spent your last hours here in the earth realm as man and fully God. So, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we give you the glory, we give you the honor, we give you the praise for what you have said and done on tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and praise God. Well, God bless you. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you. We thank God for your sowing, and those who choose to do so and desire to do so can do so by going to our website at nccmonline.org. Amen. And you can sow a seed there. We thank you for your faithful giving. Amen. Meet us on Sunday for Resurrection Sunday.
Yeah.
Jesus got up with all power in his hand. He's not dead. He is yet alive. Amen. Even though he went to the cross and gave up the ghost. Amen. Gave his spirit to the Lord.
He rose.
Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. So, Pastor Emin, I love you. We thank God for each and every one of you. Continue to move forward with faith and with power. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace and serve our God. Good night. Amen. Praise God.